said the showtime was 7:10 p.m.
7:10, and
when you took a nap, what time did you set your alarm for?
I remember closing my eyes at about 6:16.
Okay.
Setting a 30-minute timer, waking up at 6:46. Mm-hmm. Timer went off. Mike set another 5-minute timer.
Okay.
Open my eyes at 7:07. Sometime that timer went off, I turned it off and showed up. I think I showed up to the theater around like 7:25.
Mm-hmm. Movie time. The turnaround time was pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it was a short drive. But yeah, as always, you know, I try to be punctual, but it's just not in my nature, and I don't think it ever will.
Yeah,
and
when you said less than an hour until the start time of the film, when you said I'm taking a nap, I was pretty concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we had a handful of drinks at the pool today. At yeah, you said
the sequence of texts was I'm buzzed and then I'm gonna take a nap. I'm like, we're not going to the fucking movies, dude. But I'm
as I know, you worked all day, you did something productive all day long, and all I did was just lay in the pool, had maybe 6 or 7 beers all day long. And, wow.
Yeah, but it's your day off. I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You're back at it tomorrow, right?
Back at it tomorrow. Back in the grind.
You nervous about that?
Nah, I don't really get nervous anymore. It's just, you know, you fight the anxiety when you get there, and you just keep on keeping on.
Very good.
You know, when you're born in the USA, you just keep on keeping on.
Born in the USA. I was born in the USA. I didn't know that little tidbit about that being about a guy trying to find a job as they're coming home from Vietnam.
Yeah, a veteran.
I don't really know. I guess I don't know the lyrics by heart besides the chorus.
The Boss, man. I'm pretty sure he has a couple like controversial songs.
Who?
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, the Boss?
The Boss.
Is that his nickname?
I'm pretty sure that's his nickname.
Huh. So that came out in 1984. That's the timeline, or that's the timepiece to where this film is set in, 1984.
I was picking up on a couple of the songs. I was a huge fan of the soundtrack.
The soundtrack was awesome.
Yeah, very easily transitioned like throughout each scene.
And that's really all you missed in the beginning was just that it was like an 80s montage of wearing like neon stuff. And
so it was like a culture montage.
Yeah, just culture montage. Nothing to do with like the actual film. And then, which was super cool. I hope you go back and watch it at some point.
I will.
But it then rolled. Like, the opening scene is like New Year's Eve. 1984.
Oh.
Like, Happy New Year. And it's like live footage of people. It's cool. Just to see like what people looked like and what people were doing. But the whole movie was kind of a nostalgia play. Like, I bet for people that lived in this era, like, it's like pretty fucking cool to see.
I know. And we're only a couple years short.
Yeah. But, how many years ago is that? What's the quick math on that?
1984. It's 2023. 39? 2084. Yeah, 39.
Very good.
Great job. Good math on that.
Thank you.
Impressive. It's almost 2024. That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah, I wonder what it was like to be alive in 1984, man. Things are moving. You're
cool style.
Like,
I think the 80s is probably one of the greatest decades of all time.
I would agree, man. People are buying red Mercedes.
Yeah.
You know, people wearing jumpsuits, tracksuits. Like, when did that become a thing?
From 1900 to 2000, if you had to pick one decade, which one do you pick?
I don't know. I consider myself a little bit of hippie at heart.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go all the way back to Woodstock, but like, I don't know. I think that's such a great time. I'd say probably like maybe 70s.
Okay.
Maybe 70s.
Yeah.
I'd love to get an afro on me, full on disco outfit, wearing roller skates, you know, having a great time Friday night. That whole gang shows up 8 p.m.
Yeah. I'd probably go like the 1910s, just because,
like, way back,
like who knows what it was like. Like, 10 years ago it was 1899. I don't know, I think that's just crazy.
1910s, what were people doing, you know, Monday through Friday?
What were people doing for fun? Did we have electricity? Yeah, right.
I 1920,
dude, I used to be like super into history and like know a lot of stuff. I feel like now I have no fucking clue.
You're just in modern day.
Yeah.
No, and would you say you have an appreciation for history?
Cause for sure.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I do. I do in some regard, but okay. Like, as far as the true timeline goes, I don't know that many things.
Right.
And how we're here today. And it's so significant to what we do on a daily basis.
Are you saying you don't seek out the information, or are you saying like when it's presented to you, you're not like excited about it?
I think if it was presented to me in a better fashion, I'd be more excited about it. But I don't know.
Generally, it is pretty boring the way it's presented.
History is
especially
always
in school.
Yeah, I usually took a nap in history class, so guilty of that. Sorry, Coach Ditz. Anyways.
Yeah, I will say that like films like this, like timepieces, are by far my favorite.
Did you have more expectations on more of like a documentary sense or?
No, I think from the trailer I could tell it was more of a movie than a documentary, story, which I like.
Yes.
It's kind of like The Dirt. It's like, it's not a documentary. It's a movie that's depicting real people, you know, but using and that's the thing. It's like, I don't know how much of that storyline's true. I was picking up on a lot of the details of the movie. Obviously they were dropping a lot of basketball names and knowledge, stuff like that. And like a lot of it was super accurate and super true. But I don't know. These kinds of films like that are timepieces on historical events are really fucking cool.
And I think it's important to like, you know, not reenact it, but like revisit those times. Mm-hmm. In modern day, give people, you know, a little bit of appreciation.
I mean, Damon and them lived in those times.
Like, what do you think made them want to take this cast? Like, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Jason Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
Love that guy.
Dude.
Fucking love that
guy. Stole the show immediately as he came on screen.
Yeah, man. Love the long hair. I just
taking a shit mid-meeting, man. He had to go.
I got to take
a shit. And then carrying on the meeting in the bathroom. Did that happen? Was that normal?
Who's to say?
I don't know.
Phil Knight?
We are discussing the film. Sorry, we kind of forgot to mention the film we're referencing, but it's Air, starring Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Jason Bateman, as Mike mentioned. Directed by Ben Affleck.
Directed, and he's...
Was Good Will Hunting also directed by Ben Affleck?
Yes. Wow. I think one of his original movies to be directed by him.
Dude, he was so young,
he
too,
was in his like early 20s, dude.
That's crazy.
Early 20s. I think he's an impressive director, even though, you know, he has his own personal...
A lot of close-up shots. Did you notice that? Like, the side profile shots were really close to the face. But, overall, yeah, really good directing. Not that I know good or bad.
Anything about a director, but...
Well, what goes into it? I think it's more of a style thing with directors. Like, you could tell when... You know, a Tarantino film's a Tarantino film, or Chris Nolan. Like, I don't know why I call him Chris. It's like I've known him 20 years. Definitely Christopher. But
yeah, me and Chris go way back.
Yeah, so the film opens with an 80s montage, and then it opens with the scene that you missed is Sonny at a high school basketball game.
Okay.
And he introduces himself as Sonny Vaccaro. He's head of recruitment at Nike, and he's like talking with a dad and a player, and he's like, hey, you're outstanding. You know, make sure to keep Nike in mind, blah, blah, blah. So that's the first scene. And then I think you walked in like right after that.
Open up on the roster list.
Yep, top, the roster list. The first like meeting.
Top 5 were taken or top 6 was taken?
Yeah, really interesting job to have. Like, hey, go find us people that we can put our name on to make us a bunch of money.
Yeah, the face of this company.
And here's your budget.
Like, that is your job, to hunt people and create them.
What's interesting to me is like, I wonder, like obviously we saw the relationship between Sonny and Phil, the CEO, but like he's got a lot of other people that report to him. So like, did he have that kind of relationship with everybody?
I mean, handful of times they mentioned that they, you know, started this company in this mindset, mm-hmm. and that way, and did it this way.
Yeah, I know he'd been there 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, and like I think that was their first inner circle was mm-hmm. him. He's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
But. Now being a multi-billion-dollar, what did I say, $2 billion company at that point, 1984?
Yeah, I think so.
I think $2 billion was maybe the
which
number.
Is crazy. Think about where it is today and what it was then.
Yeah,
because even that's a lot of fucking money for 1984.
That's a fucking ton of money to be a, you know, 20 year business.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they, I mean, obviously goes to show they kept a little bit of a small circle mm-hmm. at the top,
mm-hmm.
which I think every company should strive for.
Yeah, I think
your roots, you know?
This movie kind of gave a really cool glimpse into like office culture.
I agree.
Which is kind of cool.
That's a great point.
I feel like I resonated a lot with like the different relationships amongst the office. And like, I don't know, I was kind of thinking about it on the way home that this movie kind of proves like how important it is to have a good reputation and have a really good relationship with people in the office, because he had to get trust out of all these people.
I mean, it was do or die.
Do or die.
Do or die.
But if he didn't have that trust or those relationships or that reputation, nobody would fucking even give him a chance.
You think Sonny had a gambling problem or no?
I feel like they touched on that super lightly, but they touched on it for a reason.
Right.
And I didn't know if it was because, like, that's how he thinks. He just thinks in bets, right? Like, his decisions are always bet-based. Like, the probability could be this. But he probably did have some issues. Phil was saying to him, like, oh, and I hear all your layovers are in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
What are you doing, Sonny?
So, yeah, I mean, it was touchdown, but I wonder how, in real life, how deep-rooted that actually was.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, coming out of the film, I was really wondering how fact check the movie is and, you know, how accurate it is to like true office meetings and events and all those little micro details that make the movie, obviously, but
yeah,
you know, I want to know.
But like what he said about like people not doing their homework or not doing the research, but then showing up to the meeting and just like throwing something out that no one would disagree with.
Call
like,
you on bullshit.
That happens, dude.
He's like, no one's going to call you, give you shit for picking the top six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Player. But, I like that opening scene. I think it set the tone for like, you know, kind of what to expect going forward. That it was going into the film. I'm like, is this more about basketball or are we talking about business?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that opening scene kind of set the tone.
Yeah. It was kind of both.
Yeah. A little bit of both. But no one ever, I think, has that little appreciation for the backstory of the business target of
right.
How to run
the risk,
of taking a player's name and likeness.
Yeah. What'd you think of Howard as Chris Tucker as Howard?
I loved him.
Yeah.
You know, it gave a little bit of that charm, you know, his lightheartedness.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of him.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him like as a real, you know, real figure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he did a great, great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in men movies recently.
I kind of forgot about
him. Yeah, he looked a little older. I mean,
he did, but I think that it helped a little bit because like if he looked like how he did when he was young, you'd be thinking about Rush Hour,
right?
So he kind of fit the mold pretty well.
Jackie Chan up in this bitch.
Yeah, dude, those movies hilarious. Are great.
They are great. But I think the cast was set very well. I like seeing Ben Affleck in that top with being Phil Knight.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about anyone. I just knew Phil Knight as Nike. That was all I remember.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know anybody. I mean, I think in school I heard like a presentation on Nike. Someone gave a report or whatever. But yeah, I knew Phil Knight. I knew they're based out of Oregon. I knew he was kind of a weird guy.
Okay.
You know, kind of like a.
Yeah, I had no knowledge of any of that. He's like kind of Buddhist a little bit.
But that's just the general basis that I knew of him. I love the cast.
Yeah, I love the cast as well. What about the script?
I enjoyed it. I think it was... I think it walked through each transition very well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, having Matt Damon at hand, you're going to be fulfilled.
You're in good hands.
You're in great hands, dude. Mm-hmm. And then having him just, you know, going back to Good Will Hunting, him and Ben Affleck just... The chemistry just kind of gave me a little bit of butterflies.
Yeah.
Walking into that film.
100%.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, it's going to be great, no matter what. I don't know the last movie that they've been with together.
On screen like that?
On screen. I think it's been a minute, honestly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wonder how long this script was in circulation for someone to pick up and do.
And that's kind of how it goes, right? They write the script, they like propose the movie, and then whoever wants to pick it up, then they just run a cast and...
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Get the budget. Why? Like, why now is my question.
Yeah. Right.
Following Last Dance a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, they use so many real people's names and all that stuff. So maybe there's just a lot of like compliance. Like,
yeah, a lot of yelling
issues. Let's talk about the sports agent and the ball, the eat your nuts line.
I'm going to nibble on your nuts. I love the back and forth on the phone.
Yeah, I love the banter.
It gave me a little bit of like Wall Street vibes, a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of cutthroat in the agency business, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try being an agent for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What's your day to day like?
And what's sad is like their job is to make you the most amount of money.
That's their only job.
It's not to like
make you happy.
It's not to make you happy. It's not to help you build a legacy. It's like, how can you get the most amount of money?
What's the best fucking deal?
I had no idea Adidas was like so German. I kind of forgot about that. Did you remember that?
I had no fucking idea. I mean, as the movie's going on, I can like picture Germany, like German fashion is very, very heavily mm-hmm. Adidas, and it kind of made sense. But I did not know that the family was heavily Nazi.
I didn't either. If that is true, I mean, we didn't obviously.
I want to know how accurate that is.
Yeah. I mean, like when I was a kid wearing Adidas, I never knew it was a German company ever.
I had no idea.
That's crazy.
But it has to be pretty fucking accurate depending on
how much. Poor Converse, dude.
Converse.
They had the most market share at the start in 1984. Did you see that little scene? It was like right as you were walking in. It was like market share in 1984. It was like Converse, I think it was like 58 or 60-something%. It was
percentage, yeah.
Adidas was like 30-something or whatever, 25. And then Nike was like 15. And 7 years after they signed Michael Jordan, Nike buys Converse. That's crazy.
Crazy. I mean, a little bit before that, you got, Magic Johnson.
Right.
Signed with Converse.
Mm-hmm. And Larry Bird. Mm-hmm.
Who would you pick?
Probably Larry.
Yeah.
Wait, if I was Mike? Or if I was...
No, if you were an NBA All-Star and you have to go into the...
Pick a shoe company?
Yeah, which one you pick?
I wouldn't pick Under Armour. Do you think Steph Curry had a conversation like that with Under Armour? That's who he's signed with.
Why the fuck you picking Under Armour, dude?
Do you think they sold them on a similar pitch?
I wonder what those modern day pitches are like.
Probably a lot of kiss ass.
Were you upset that you did not see Michael Jordan's face?
Not really.
Were you expecting it?
I didn't know how they were going to handle that.
Because in all the trailers, they never really, you know.
I think he has such a recognizable face that trying to find an actor for him wouldn't suffice.
No.
And so I'm kind of glad that they did it that way.
I agree. It kept it.
Because from the back, it did kind of look like him when he was young. He was tall, skinny.
Bald ass head.
But, I wasn't too upset. I wanted to ask you that as well. I was curious.
I was wondering if they were going to kind of reveal like who the actor was. And, just looking up the cast, they don't even mention him in like the top Google search now. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously it's intentional, but
yeah.
We're just wondering how that rubbed you.
Yeah, it was interesting the way they depicted both of the parents. I know his dad was a little bit more like lenient, laid back, kind of chill. And then the mom was a little bit more
Dolores.
Dolores.
Yeah, straight up businesswoman.
I mean, I feel like I knew pretty early on in the film that like. Because Howard was like, yeah, you have to go to the mom. You know, that's how you get him.
Yeah.
That he's like, all right, I'm going to remember that.
But then each company meeting, Adidas, Converse, and Nike, each one, both parents get out of the car. They have a great welcome for the mm-hmm. for the parents. And it's just like a whatever handshake with Michael.
Right.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, same.
His mother was his real agent.
I mean, when he went to their house and said, I'm going to tell you how those meetings are going to go. And if I'm wrong, you know, do whatever you want. But if I'm right, give me a meeting. And she asked for the meeting before that even happened. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Don't know if that's true, but it's still interesting.
Yeah. I was a little confused how that timeline went, but, wearing the Rolex on his hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, got the top three best players.
But he's so right. Like those big companies don't need to kind of, like give you some special pitch, like because they're so established. Like Nike had to give that kind of pitch because they weren't. And if she wasn't as invested, Mike Pryor just would have went with Adidas because it was the most amount of money. It was the hottest thing at the time.
$250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's making $400 million in passive income a year.
That's what's crazy is that the terms of that deal were $250K for 5 years. Plus the royalty or the rev share from the shoe sales. If he didn't have the rev share, he would have made $250,000 for 5 years. He probably would have got a contract extension of sorts. But think about it. He made $165 million, or they sold $165 million in the first fucking year.
First year.
Even if he got 2% of that. That's crazy.
And they never mentioned a percentage.
I know. I was curious about that as well.
They just said a piece.
That's probably the part that was kind of Hollywoodified. Like, yeah. I guarantee when Sonny took that to Phil, there's no way he was like, fuck it.
I mean,
maybe, dude, maybe, but like there had to be a conversation about like, what is the percentage, you know?
that little letdown, you know, on the phone. He's like, you know, the economics, like, this is not how it works.
Yeah.
This business works. I'm like, damn, what's going to happen?
Dude,
like,
that was so, how I just felt so realistic. Like,
a little bit of pushback.
Like, he was just being really honest. Like, he's like, I agree with you, but it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Business is in favor.
So, backing up a little bit to, like,
go ahead.
What you just fuck it. I love that scene.
I know, dude. It's awesome.
But backing up to after the meeting that when he drives to Wilmington, you know, then they start to prep for this meeting and they spend the whole weekend at the office. And then we meet the lab coat, the behind the scenes MVP.
The hero, honestly.
The hero.
The unsung
hero.
Because if you think of like the logistics of like, you know, how the deal went down and everything, like, yeah, that's all good and gravy, but like the fucking shoe, man.
The shoe. Without the shoe, the deal is nothing.
The deal is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole franchise is nothing. The fucking shoe. They paid the fine.
Yeah, and that's what's so crazy is like none of the other shoe brands probably offered to give him a custom shoe. And I think that's how it typically goes if you sign a shoe deal is like, unless you're already in the league a couple of years, they don't give you a custom shoe. Like, I don't think how that's how it works today. But like, you know, Curry has his own shoe.
Yeah.
LeBron, Donovan Mitchell, a couple other guys that are like well-established in the league have their own shoe. Kyrie, Kobe, you know. But like the fact that Nike made a shoe for him
changed the history.
And sports marketing. Like, we're gonna pay the fines. I bet they fucking did that too.
I bet they fucking did. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Fucking NBA, 51%. Gotta be white.
That's crazy. What a weird.
I mean, just uniform, you know.
Yeah, right. They don't want anybody
standing.
I mean, the NBA has evolved so much, but they still have rules like that. Like you, if you wear like socks or headband, it has to be NBA brand. You can't wear like any other brands,
which makes sense.
Yeah, so him and what was Jason Bateman's character's name?
I'm gonna go back for you here.
Rob. Him and Rob spend the weekend at the office stealing snacks from the concession.
I thought that was awesome, dude.
It's so awesome.
It's free.
What were your thoughts on the phone usage? I kind of loved seeing that.
It made it seem real in the time.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the phone in the car was like just blew my mind.
Yeah.
You know, how do you put a land phone in a moving vehicle?
Right.
Like, was that a real thing?
And then when Phil, like, answered the phone and then put it back and, like, closed the box. It's like a box for your phone.
I want a phone in a box. Can I?
Dude, I was literally thinking during the film, like, do they make landlines that can connect to your cell phone? So when someone calls you, like, it'll go to the landline.
Instead of your cell phone.
Because I would like to have that. It'd be pretty cool.
No. Phones back in the day were just hard to come by, man.
Long cords.
Yeah, long
cords. Your kitchen at your old house used to have a long ass cord, dude.
I know. And then it got neglected soon after. The world evolved.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Put your phone in your pocket.
Yep.
But I love Rob. He was great. I don't know which relationship I liked more. Was it Sonny and Phil's or was it Rob and Sonny's?
Yeah. The thing I liked about Sonny and Phil's is like it's so real. He was like, fuck you, dude. And it's just like crazy. I mean, again, like I don't know the specifics of what it was really like, but the way they portrayed it at least, it's just very like real. It's not like I'm your boss, you're my employee. It's like
just good fucking act.
This is what I fucking think is right. And here's why. But like it's crazy that he took that much of a bet on him because to his point he was like, you told me about this player last year, this player the year before that, and this player the year before that. So it's tough.
They were gonna divvy up $250K
but like, dude, players. I mean, can we just talk about the amount of chills during this movie? I got a lot of chills.
I had a bunch of chills, man. I felt like I was there.
Yeah, me too.
I felt like I was in the office hanging out.
I mean, like the scene where he like gets the aha moment with Michael Jordan and he's explaining to Rob why. Chills. Did that make sense, his explanation of what he was saying?
Yeah. 18-year-old
James freshman. Worthy was on the Tar Heels, and he was 2 years older than Michael.
Okay.
He got drafted first overall in the NBA.
Okay.
While Michael was a freshman. I'm probably fucking up this timeline. Either way, that's how good this guy was. His point was like, that guy's that good, and they gave it to Michael, like which he explained.
Yeah.
So it's just a really interesting way to look at that.
I know. I thought it was like a, you know, if that's going to be your pitch to your coworkers, like,
I was kind of like wondering why he didn't give that same exact pitch. Cause like after he said that to Rob, I was like, holy fuck, I'm bought in. But then he didn't give that same exact pitch to anyone else.
No, you're right. Just his right hand, man.
Or maybe they just kind of, you know, sped past it. But I loved how Howard had his back all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the scene with the guy, his old buddy, his best man at his wedding that he goes and visits?
I didn't really catch that.
Kind of not needed.
A little unnecessary.
But like, I feel like he would have done the go see his parents thing anyway, which was like kind of Marlon Wayans' character's point. Like, you're going to do it anyways. But like, his story about getting Martin Luther King's speech, like, that was crazy.
That's insane.
That's like real.
That's insane.
I kind of got lost in the story at first because it was a long story.
Yeah, it was literally kind of like not misdirected, but like wasn't obvious of.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just the way in which he was telling it, but I was like, kind of like, where are you going? Like, what?
Yeah, how is this relevant?
And then when he said, like, I have a dream, I was like, is he talking about the king?
Motherfucking king?
But I was like, wait, the first half of the speech is not the second half of the speech. What? What? I don't know. I got a little bit lost. But
well, I mean, so if you tie that in with the actual meeting, which yeah. I do want to highlight each meeting and get your take on that, but, I mean, Sonny just cuts it, mm-hmm. gives his own pitch. Let's dive into each meeting.
Oh. Maybe that was the significance.
Yeah, man. Fuck it. Stop the tape.
Wow.
And then he just takes it on.
Okay, so maybe that scene did have a lot more significance than my dumb little brain thought.
Yeah, we're just connecting dots here. That's what we do.
Yeah, no, it's smart, though. I honestly didn't really put two and two together. I thought that scene was kind of pointless.
Hey, we're here just figuring it out on the fly. Wow. For the listeners.
And it all comes full circle, and now this score that I had in my head may have just increased.
Wow. You like that?
That was very good. What did you want to break down? The meetings?
Converse versus Adidas meeting versus Nike meeting.
Yeah. I liked Converse.
I liked it too. They had the full circle up there.
I mean, they're not out of their minds to say, like, you'll be mentioned with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Like, when he's like, yeah, but it's Larry. Like, he's not wrong. Like, those are literally NBA legends. And at that point in time, they changed the whole dynamic in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, they made people want to watch basketball.
And back then, it was kind of a struggling sport. A little bit before Magic, it was a bit of a struggling sport.
Yeah. So, like, for the Jordans to have this expectation that they would be like, but your son's going to be better than these players. Like, they would, like, you would have to be crazy to say that.
Yeah.
Which, that's what Nike was. They were fucking crazy.
Fucking crazy.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. Close that fucking deal. I thought it was pretty funny, though. They had just come up with the German accents. And
yeah, I mean, like, the where they like kind of argue about who's the shot caller, yeah, like that's kind of dramatized. I don't know that they would actually do that in a meeting setting.
Sounds
but
like
maybe. I mean, maybe it was that unclear, like who's actually calling the shots.
Adolf was calling the shots for a minute.
Yeah, he was.
Addy? You think Adolf had actually any influence on the Adidas brand?
No.
When the fuck was the Holocaust?
1945 was World War II.
50s?
No, before 40. 45 is when the war started.
Okay.
So the Holocaust would have been before that? After that?
Damn, I feel like...
We need a fucking history lesson.
Jesus Christ, man.
Is that bad?
That's so bad.
Yeah, it is.
Who the fuck
bad.
Are we?
I don't know. That's
I'm
really
sorry.
Bad. Well, the other thing, too, is like if you were to watch a documentary right now, you'd be super knowledgeable if you watched one yesterday. You just take in so much information every single day. You can't retain it all.
No, you can't.
You only retain the things that, like... I don't know.
Can't be perfect.
It can't be perfect.
That's okay. That's what that's what our listeners are for.
Mm-hmm.
Fill us in.
Yes.
In the comment section.
Absolutely.
But breaking down the Nike scene, pitching it to the family. What'd you think about Phil Knight walking in with a
I hated his line.
I hated it, man. Obviously it was intentional, but
I hated it. Like I wish he would have just walked in and said nothing. Like why didn't he shake their hands? Why didn't he introduce himself? Why was he so cocky? It's like he was like trying to be Adidas in Converse.
Right.
But I thought the whole plan was to be different than that.
Right.
So I was like, what the fuck, Phil? But, and then, yeah, when they started the movie, I was like cringing. Or the video. Love the projectors.
Yeah. Just the red.
The projectors, the slide, the TV on wheels that you put the VCR in. I mean, we lived through that, which was I'm grateful for.
And I was going back in my mind, I'm like, I was there when that was going on. You know, we used projectors back in the day.
Right. And that's crazy that they used them in 1984, if that's true. And we still used them, like, in the early 2000s.
Right.
I mean, we went a long time with using projectors. I mean, they still use those.
They do.
They're just automatic now.
The classy professors still use them, yeah.
Or you could just put on a whiteboard or something.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the pre-meeting?
Yeah, in the basement.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Very cool.
Drinking Cokes, sitting in a circle.
I love that, dude.
Yeah. I definitely lost track of time. I wish they would have, like, let you know the time a little bit better. Because, like, it was, like, a Friday or something. And they stayed at the office Saturday, Sunday. But, like, there were scenes where it was, like, late at night or where during the day. You didn't really know what time it was.
Stealing snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So, I don't know. I feel like that. I would have liked, like, a little countdown to the meeting or something. So, you could get an understanding of, like, what they're doing and when.
But then Phil did say he'd come back on Sunday and make a decision.
He said Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Yep, yep. And then the meeting was obviously Monday. Yeah. Yeah, I thought they gave him a decent greeting, walked him in. I felt awkward when they were in the meeting room. I felt really awkward because Rob tried to make a joke. It didn't land.
Did not land at all.
But, like, to your point, I felt like I was kind of there.
I had chills on my body.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously, you know what happens, but you didn't know.
You didn't know how.
Didn't know how.
Yeah, when he said shut off the projector, I'm like, wow, here we go.
The suspense.
He's just going to lay his heart on the line. And, like, that's what's crazy. It's like, it's just desperation. Like, his life is over if he doesn't land this deal. And so it just came out of him.
Phil goes, Sonny, what the fuck are you doing? Like, under his breath. Did you catch that?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
But I love that pitch by Sonny, dude.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I would hear quotes. That again.
Like, I want to read that line.
Yeah.
All those lines. Something about, like, only the best climb to the top of the mountain, but it's like how you come down from that. But, dude, it was so like showing the scenes of, like, his actual life paired with what he was saying, like his dad passing away and his affair scandal and then, like, playing baseball and, like, coming back.
Like, it was like a minute, like maybe a minute and a half. It was showing his life events.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
So cool. So real.
So real. Israel.
Again, Israel?
Israel.
Tel Aviv?
Again, what?
What was I going to say?
Whole life dependent on it.
Yeah, I think, like, I totally lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
Thank you, Israel.
But what was the saying that he... it's just a shoe until someone steps into it.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing Rob's thunder there.
Yeah, and I like the little smirk out of Rob when he said it.
Just love right there.
It was.
Just love. Love and compassion.
Yeah.
You know, for a business.
Mm-hmm.
Chills. 10 principles.
Yeah.
Quick touch on that.
Yeah, I loved how they showed it repetitively.
Repetitively,
They showed almost every principle.
Very, very good principle.
That has to be, you know, factual. Your job is not done until the job is done. Who comes up with something like that, dude?
Then we're on offense all the time. What was another one?
Oh, your favorite one I heard laugh out of you was like live off the island or something. What was it?
Oh, live off the land.
Live off the land, yeah.
What the fuck?
It just means like, utilize your resources that you have.
Everything you got.
Before, like, you know, asking for something that you don't. I don't know. Optimize your resource, basically. That's my interpretation of it, at least. So they land Mike.
Land Mike, close the deal.
I think, like, that's the one part I wish, like, I didn't know that happened. But, like, you knew inevitably it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, but you still felt, like, really sad about the Adidas thing, like when they matched the offer, and like I think he cried on the phone with Howard, and then he was just like, really appreciate you believing in me. Like, that was real.
Had to be.
It's crazy how convincing Matt Damon can be after I've seen him in so many films.
Every scene I'm just like, I don't know if it's his voice, like the way he says words, like I don't know what it is, but it's just so convincing.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's so, I feel like it's so easy for him. Like, it's just so natural.
It is.
Even
he's been doing it for so long.
The movie was going on, and my brain's just going back to Good Will Hunting.
Same.
I'm like, dude, like, since he was like 18, he's been doing it. 19. Yeah. Like, it's just been
at such a high level.
God given gift.
Yeah.
Gotta appreciate good actors, man. They're gonna all die.
I know.
And, you know, at least they're part of our lives.
Definitely. It's been nice. It's been a treat. I'd love to jump to a rating.
Hmm. about an hour and 51 minutes, I think the movie was total.
Yeah, about an hour 59 in runtime, almost just under 2 hours.
Factoring everything in.
Mix it all together.
Everything, all glue all the pages together. All the leather, all the shoe, all the lace. I'd probably give it like a, for what it's worth, probably like an 8.1.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, pretty high.
Yeah.
Always high. But the way that they took the snippet of the timeline, like of true events, and they just took The Office. Like a lot of it was based out of The Office.
Yeah.
Like each scene, like they didn't really go places.
Right.
And I thought that was like awesome because they depicted the entire story within the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, like I love how it wasn't really about, I mean, obviously it's all about Michael.
Yeah.
But it's about the progression and the development, the pre-development of his entire future.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they wrapped it up very, very well. You know, shout out Matt Damon. Shout out Ben Affleck. Shout out Chris Tucker. All the boys.
Shout out the lab guy.
Pete Moore.
I feel like we didn't spend enough time on Pete.
Yeah.
Before I give my rating, can we go back to Pete for a minute?
How'd you like that lisp?
I assume the guy had a lisp in real life.
I would assume as well. What'd you think about his lab? Did it give you any Spider-Man vibes?
His laugh?
His lab.
Oh, his lab? Yeah. It didn't give me 1984 vibes, I'll tell you that much. It gave me kind of like futuristic. It was like that lighting in there. But to turn a prototype around in 3 days like that was very impressive.
Insane.
Just like, hey, come up with the most amazing tree you've ever thought of in your life in 3 days.
Something new.
It's crazy.
600 years ago when the first change in shoes were ever made.
Yeah, that was an interesting fact.
Wow.
Like, so you never used to have a left and right. It was just shoes?
Two shoes.
I guess that makes sense.
Two shoes.
And then I guess we learned how to curve it based on like a
arches.
So
whatnot.
Interesting.
Your feet, man. Like,
it's crazy that like 601 years ago, no one was thinking about that. It was just like, yeah, you put on both shoes and like it's uncomfortable, but you know, you just put on either shoe. It doesn't matter. How convenient would that be? Just put on either shoe. You don't even have to think about right or left.
Yeah, it would be actually pretty convenient.
But now we have right and left socks. They'd be like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know. I always think about like, is there an invention like that that no one's thinking of right now? And how do you think of it?
Peter Moore thought of it.
Yeah, he did. I'm pissed that he died a month before this.
Yeah, dude, that's just like,
it sucks.
It does suck. You think he saw the film?
No, it said a month before this was announced.
Oh, was announced.
I think something like that. It wasn't like announced. It wasn't a month before it was done.
Okay. I don't know if it was, I couldn't remember if it was before
I
the
think
release.
It was before they started filming.
Okay.
Or something. I don't know.
But I loved him. I think he was the secret hero to the movie.
Secret sauce.
Secret sauce, for sure.
If you didn't have that soul idea he was trying, where like air soul or whatever, like who knows what they would have called it. They probably would have called it, they probably would have called it Jordans or something. But
you think there's any legal consequences between the like, origin of Air Jordan between whatever his name was?
Maybe.
Rick, Dick?
I mean.
And Peter?
Because, yeah, there was really no way for him to prove it.
They made it pretty, like, significant that, like.
He said it.
That Peter originated the phrase.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be hard to prove, but he might have. He was sleazy.
Imagine coining the name.
Air Jordan.
Air Jordan.
That's crazy.
For decades and decades to come.
Yeah. Wild.
Insane.
I think, again, when I was driving home, I was doing a lot of reflecting.
Okay.
I think it's one of the best films I've seen in a long time.
In a minute.
Going to the movies, brand new movie that I've seen in a long time. I felt a lot in this movie.
Did it touch your heart?
It touched my heart. Now I'm biased because I love timepiece films and I love basketball.
I know you do.
And that's both of those things.
You are a basketball man.
It's like a 9.2 for me.
Damn, buddy. That is a record breaking.
But it's because it's like it checks my movie boxes.
It does.
It's a timepiece. It's about basketball. It's about business and basketball. I don't know, dude. It just it really resonated with me. And that's like a story I didn't know much about. And that was such a cool way to learn about it versus like watching a documentary. Right. Like in 1985 and you had this, you know what I mean? It just keep, that's when history can be boring. But like when you tell it in a story like this, where you feel connected to the cast and the plot and all that, like it's nice. It's invigorating.
9.2.
Damn. Yeah.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Really proud of you, man.
Yeah, I don't know if that's my highest rating. I feel like I gave something a 9.4 one time. But I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember what it would be.
You gave a 9 once.
Yeah, I did give a 9. A low 9. I give a low 9.
It was like a 9.1.
Yeah. 9.2. You're right. And it does check all your boxes. And appreciate your review.
Appreciate you.
You're basketball man.
Yes, I am. At heart.
I do wish we had a little bit of pre-discussion prior to the film. And, you know. To give me a little bit of your excitement about your expectations and whatnot, but
mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, my expectations were pretty high. I was really looking forward to this film, and they were met. Really impressed all around. I encourage everyone to see it. Like I said, I'm biased. I really enjoyed it.
That's a part of culture.
But if you appreciate business and you appreciate desperation, and courage,
inspiration.
Yeah, then you'll love this film. I do think the humor was
dry
a little bit, but like there were times like the audience laughed in our theater, and I didn't laugh. What does that mean? Because I certainly laughed at other scenes. There was a scene of Ben Affleck running, which, by the way, being a CEO of a company and running in your own shoes, a $1 billion company.
Billionaire
running in your own shoes.
That's what it's all about.
It's so sick.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
But he was running through on the sidewalk or something. Like he just says under his breath, God, he's so big.
He's a large human, man. His big ass jumpsuit. His purple swooshes everywhere.
So sick.
You know, people wear running shoes to the grocery
store. I wonder
if
he's still the CEO.
I want to say, yeah, I don't think he sold it.
He's got to be so old.
I don't know. Gotta report to the board.
That's crazy. He was able to convince the board of that. Like it was unheard of at that time, and it makes sense. Like that's a huge fucking risk. Changing and they're obviously losing $400 million a year from it. That's a large fucking chunk of money.
But they're making over. Yeah. What was it?
I think it said $4 billion a year.
Yeah, it was a four. Yeah, it was $4 billion a year.
$4 billion. So what's $400 million out of $4 billion? 1%. 10%?
10%, maybe.
It's 10% of 4 billion. Can you ask Siri on your watch real quick? What's 10% of 4 billion? It's got to be. We're not history guys. We're not math guys.
Siri, what's 10% of 4 billion?
It's 400 million.
Thank you, Nigel. Why is that the voice you have?
I like the Australian guy, man. He's so cool.
Wow, 10%, okay, great so job. 10% of all revenue.
MJ.
That's crazy, dude.
I really did like the post credits and talked about, you know, the charities and what they do. And,
yeah.
You know, I always enjoy those, like, you know, the timepiece films. And
when I mean, they catch you up on, like, what happened.
Yeah, what the fuck goes on.
Yeah.
Following up the film. But I didn't really know, like, how much, like, Jordan did for the community and obviously his mom and dad does for the community. Not his dad anymore, but well, you know what they do for the community. Like I was trying to compare it to like what LeBron does nowadays, and
mm-hmm.
you know, for the kids building schools and everything.
Right.
We weren't really a part of that time,
right? You
know, when Jordan was doing all that, so I enjoyed that. 8.2, 9.2.
Yep.
Enjoy you.
Enjoy you. Thanks for being here.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I think that's a wrap.
Get up out of your chairs, take your AirPods out, and go see a film.
Take a run.
Take a run. What was it? I took a run? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, how'd you come to that solution? He said, I went for a run.
Went for a run.
I forget the song he was running to, or the one that they played with, dude, the soundtrack. The lady next to me, like, clearly lived in the 80s. Like, she was loving it. She fucking sang every song like under her breath. I'm like, relax. Even I fucking know this one, bitch.
You think Matt Damon's that fat?
Dude, I was wondering that.
Is like, he wearing a little flap jacket? Suit? I don't know.
I think they probably did. I feel like he's in pretty great shape.
Yeah, I would imagine he takes care of himself.
Yeah. I liked how much the movie centered on him. Like, the only other scenes outside of The Office besides, you know, some of the obvious ones were at his house, like at his home, on the couch or eating or whatever.
Mm. What do you think about the grocery store clerk? 7-Eleven clerk?
I thought it was funny how he was like, yeah, he's too short. He's not, you know.
Getting real opinion.
I'm sure a lot of people said shit like that, but the Slurpee looked incredible.
It looked so good. The advertisement, I mean, I was just sold.
Yeah.
I was sold on all those items.
Yeah, it was great.
I want to go into that fucking...
I know. Be sick to time travel into there.
Get a fucking 1980s Slurpee? Yeah. Half the sugar.
Get a beep on your pager. Still have no idea how that works.
We should start wearing pagers. It's literally I send you a page and it beeps and lets you know.
Like to call me.
A number pops up and yeah, you know, what to call, who to call.
Hmm.
You recognize that number and you call when you want.
But how do you send a page?
Just as if you sent a text.
So you do send it from your own pager?
Off your pager.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's strange. They're still very actively used in like the, at least to my experience in the medical world.
Wow.
All doctors were pagers.
Really?
Yeah. All residents were pagers.
What?
Yeah, man.
I kind of
want like,
one.
It's a huge, like, it buzzes, like, it disturbs you. It's like an immediate signal to you. You know, you might put your phone down, but, like, people wear pagers on their hips at all time.
Wow, I did not know that.
So I get a hold of them. Yeah. They didn't have cell phones back then. You can't just call. Like,
right.
Call you up.
And plus, they might be in the middle of a fucking operation or something.
Yeah.
They probably don't bring the beeper into an operation.
But to using it in, like, a business form, like, you know. Yeah. Boss to boss. Pretty damn good technique.
There is a film coming out about the BlackBerry. Similar fashion as the one we just saw. It's like a timepiece on like really? The company at that time and like had this idea that sorry, I'm kind of getting off track, but in the trailer, like the guy's like texting and he's like going like this with his pointer finger and the guy goes, use your thumb. Try with your thumb. And he goes, so much faster. And he's like, oh. And it's just like that moment of like, wow, I can fucking text my thumbs. And then like game changes forever. So I'm looking forward to reviewing that with you as well. I think next up on the docket we have Mario.
We do, Mario.
I don't know when we're going to see that, but we will do an episode on it.
We sure will.
We have to.
Yeah. Excited for it.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have any other requests, as always, feel free to submit.
Let us know.
Let us know. How you feeling? How your day's going? And
how's your dog?
How's your cat? How's your turtle?
Do you have a bird?
Squirrel? Perhaps?
Hmm. Hamster? You ever have a hamster? No. Kind of an odd pet.
Just I had a gecko one time.
Yeah, I had lizards as well.
I had a turtle too. He played dead for a while. And we let him outside and I've never seen him run so fast.
You ever have any fish? You used to have one of those like rainbow fish, I think.
Yeah, what are those fucking things called?
Yeah, they're just super cheap. Okay, like beta fish?
Beta fish.
Yeah, fucking betas.
A couple of dollars. Put a fish in a bowl.
Where do you catch those?
Why were they
so abundant?
They just breed them, I guess. I don't really know. But where they originate, I really don't know. Asia?
Weird.
Wherever Asia is.
Would you go to Asia?
Asia is a huge.
I feel like you would stick out like a sore. I mean, we both would, but like, you would stick the fuck out.
What would you wear?
I don't know. I'm just picturing you wearing like a Providence Catholic football like, t-shirt walking through the streets.
So inaccurate.
I don't know. I'd probably wear like a dress shirt unbuttoned all the way down.
I would just try to like take an outfit from the hangover maybe. And just,
yeah.
Sweaty, just like a sweaty shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fit in with, you know, with the workplace.
Yeah, you're right. Hmm.
Love you.
Love you too.
And see you next time.
Guess we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Be well. Buddy Critiques.
Cheers.
Buddy Critiques.
Take it easy.